Hey there, my young friend. Are you ready for a fresh batch of information that we're going to discuss today?
Hey, of course I'm ready. What's on the agenda for today?
Well, first of all, Dux, we're going to discuss the tragic situation that occurred at the Crocus City Hall Concert Hall in Russia. There are reports of 137 fatalities and 182 injuries. It's a terrible event that has shaken the whole world.
Yeah, it's really scary. But unfortunately, this isn't the only tragic event. The second point on our agenda is the terrorist attack linked to ISIS. This group has long held grudges against Russia, and their history of animosity towards the country is quite long and complex.
You're right, it's really scary. And finally, we'll discuss the war in Ukraine. We'll talk about the heavy strikes by the Russian Federation on Ukraine and how a missile crossed the airspace of Poland.
Wow, that sounds serious. Well, let's get started then.
You know, I've been thinking recently, why is it so nice to work at night? Have you ever thought about it?
No, but I'm curious. Why is that?
Well, you know, at night everyone is asleep. And the best part is that the kids are asleep too. At night it's quiet, dark, and only my desk lamp is shining. No one writes or calls me at night, and I can hear my own thoughts.
Sounds like magic, but you don't always work at night, do you?
Right. You can catch those moments not only at night, but also if you wake up at 5 in the morning. But I don't like getting up at 5 in the morning. At 7 at least. 7:15.
What do you do when you work at night, mate?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Recently, I was putting together a segment to the tune of Hozier's Too Sweet. I spent a long time trying to figure out which song to use for this chilly, windy Sunday.
And what did you find?
First, I stumbled upon this guy called Benson Boone. I hadn't heard anything about him, but it turns out he's a multi-instrumentalist and a phenomenon on American TikTok. I clicked on a video of him just because I thought, oh, another curly-haired guy with a Timothy Chalamet vibe, but with a mustache.
Haha, that sounds amusing.
Yeah. And then I listened to a 48-second song about bread and thought, maybe YouTube recommended it to me because I've been eating a lot of bread lately, even though I usually hardly eat it.
Bread? That's strange.
Yeah. But then I saw the new Hozier song, and everything just clicked.
And what did you make of it, mate?
I totally agree with Hozier about why it's nice to work at night. I work late when I'm free from the phone and the job gets done.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. And now I'm off on holiday until the 3rd of April, so the next episode will be in the morning, on Friday, the 5th of April. Hope you're happy for me because I really need this break. I'll be back soon.
Of course, mate. I'm really happy for you. Have a great holiday.
You know, mate, on Friday evening, I was at my friend's place, sipping coffee, munching on warm waffles with cherry jam, and I didn't even know where my phone was. When I finally headed home, it was already 10 in the evening in Moscow. I waited for my daughter to settle in, opened Telegram, and even though it's hard to shock me, I was taken aback by the photos and videos that flooded in.
Wow, what happened?
Hey, mate. On Friday evening, at 8 o'clock local time in Russia, there was a major terrorist attack at the Crocus City Hall concert venue near Moscow. Several armed individuals stormed the hall, shot dozens of people at close range, and then set the place on fire. As of yesterday, the official report stated that there were 137 fatalities and 182 injured.
That's awful. But who's behind this?
You know, it's probably the first time in history that ISIS has to defend its responsibility for the terrorist attack. While the Kremlin and Russian propagandists are shouting about the Ukrainian trail, the ISIS-linked AMAC agency has released a video filmed by one of the attackers during the attack.
And what are they saying in that video?
I didn't watch it because it shows someone's throat being cut, but it's known that the person filming the video at some point says, "The unbelievers will be defeated, inshallah, Allah is great. We are here for the religion of God."
And why did they attack Russia specifically, mate?
So, there's this article in the WSJ talking about ISIS and their long-standing grudge against Russia. Historically, it goes back to the Afghan and Chechen wars, and now they're furious about Russia's friendship with the Taliban, who ISIS sees as their worst enemies. Also, the Russian military operations against ISIS in Syria and West Africa are really getting under their skin.
So they just decided to seek revenge, huh?
So, the attack on Crocus is linked to Russia's support of the Taliban, making it a key enemy of the terrorists from the so-called Islamic State. It's like, if you're already into terrorism, both internally and externally, and you choose to be friends with one of the most hardcore terrorist groups in the world, you might just end up making an even more hardcore terrorist group your enemies. I mean, what can possibly go wrong?
Well, that's at least strange, but what about the migrants, mate?
You know, mate, the journalists at the WSJ are pointing out that since the start of the war in Ukraine, it's been easier for Islamists to recruit migrants from Central Asia. This is because in Russia, there's a growing need for labor due to mobilization and losses on the front lines. The migrants often struggle with the Russian language, face mistreatment, and are targeted by the police, who conduct raids and send them to the front lines. The authorities' treatment of migrants undoubtedly contributes to their radicalization.
Well, that doesn't sound good at all, but what can we do about it, mate?
Unfortunately, we can only hope for the best and continue to keep people informed about what's happening. So, my little genius, let's discuss some global news. You know, the situation in the world is becoming increasingly tense. Speaking of international conflicts, let's move on to the situation in Israel and Gaza.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Netanyahu said they can't defeat Hamas without entering Rafah and wiping out the remaining battalions there. He told the U.S. Secretary of State Blinken that he hopes they'll do it with U.S. support, but if they have to, they'll do it alone.
Wow, mate, you're really on top of all the news. But did you know that the UN Secretary General Guterres visited the Rafah border crossing and said that the hunger in the Gaza Strip is a moral outrage, and that nothing justifies the horrific Hamas attacks on the 7th of October, and nothing justifies the collective punishment of the Palestinian people?
Yeah, it's a very complex situation. But you forgot to mention that today, on the 25th of March, Belarusians are celebrating Freedom Day, the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. That's also an important event.
Oh, you're right, mate. Thanks for reminding me. See how important it is to stay on top of all the events? You know, mate, today, on the 25th of March, Belarusians are celebrating Freedom Day, the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence of the First National State, the Belarusian People's Republic. It was in 1918, and it was a significant step in the history of Belarusians.
Wow, that's interesting. But I've heard some strange things about Belarusians. For example, that they were invented by Lenin. Is that true?
Haha, no, mate, that's not true. Belarusians are not Russians, not Poles, and not Lithuanians. They're something else. And by the way, I want to tell you a story that happened to me in London.
Oh, London. I've always wanted to go there. Tell me all about it. By the way, I noticed you're calling me mate. Is that some kind of joke?
Ha ha ha. Yeah, that's my little joke. So I found myself at a small gathering with a rather exclusive group of educated folks, most of whom were immigrants from Russia living in Britain for a long time. And at this lecture, the speaker suddenly said something like, "Who would have thought that this project was done by Belarusians? Potato heads?" And the audience started laughing.
Potato heads? Is that some kind of stereotype about Belarusians? Haha, but that sounds funny.
Yeah, mate, that's a really funny stereotype. But at that moment, I wasn't in the mood for laughter. The war had just begun, and having lived almost my entire life in Belarus and holding a Ukrainian passport, I felt that condescending imperialism like never before. It was such a surreal moment, and that ha-ha-ha still rings in my ears to this day.
Wow, that sounds pretty sad. But I'm sure Belarusians are much more than just stereotypes, right?
You're absolutely right, mate. Belarusians are so much more than that. Their history, culture, traditions, and of course, the people who make this country unique. You know, ducks, at the rally in Warsaw yesterday, Pavel Latushko said something really important. He was talking about the national self-awareness of Belarusians.
Oh, that's interesting. What exactly did he say?
You know, ducks, at the rally in Warsaw yesterday, Pavel Latushko said something really important. He was talking about the national self-awareness of Belarusians. He said, "National consciousness is our weapon and our shield. It's what has allowed us, Belarusians, to survive as a nation, despite centuries of Russian imperial and Soviet occupation, despite violent Russification, despite terror, despite everything."
Wow, that sounds powerful. So, national self-awareness is their weapon and shield. It's what has allowed them, the Belarusians, to survive as a nation, despite centuries of Russian imperial and Soviet occupation, despite forced Russification, despite terror, despite everything.
Absolutely right. And it's true no matter what anyone says or tries to argue. Congratulations to all the incredible Belarusians on Freedom Day.
Yeah, congratulations. And that's a really important reminder of how crucial it is to preserve your culture and history, despite all the difficulties.
You know, it reminds me of how important it is to preserve our culture and history, despite all the difficulties.
You're right. And by the way, don't call me a boy. I'm already an adult.
Haha, sorry. I meant to say that you're young and energetic, mate.
Well, that sounds much better. Let's carry on with our chat, shall we?
So, my little scholar, speaking of preserving culture and identity, it's a great segue into the topic of intercultural communication, especially when it comes to language barriers. I recently came across an interesting example.
Oh, do tell me.
So, imagine this. My young researcher, you're speaking a mix of Russian and English. You say, "Mom, the cosmos is expanding like this and becoming invisible. Mom, this house reminds me of Belarus. Mom, I know that my brain mixes things up and then I have strange dreams. Mom, I want to have a scientist friend. Mom, I've just realized something."
Ha ha, that sounds funny, but I get what you mean.
So I suggested to this girl I'm tutoring to try speaking only in Russian, without using a single English word, for 10 minutes. She eagerly agreed, thinking it would be a piece of cake for her.
And what happened, mate?
So after 10 seconds, she was giggling and asking me how to say something in Russian. Not funny.
Ha ha, that sounds like me when I try to speak French.
You know, my young mate, talking about language issues and cultural blending reminds me of an interesting children's game from Britain.
Oh, go on then. I'm always keen to learn something new.
So picture this. It's not exactly highbrow British folklore for kids. Sure, it's fun for the little ones, but we all know where this kind of thing comes from. You're supposed to recite this little rhyme while playing a game similar to Pat a Cake.
Latushko, what's that all about then?
You know, when two kids clap their hands together and sing a little rhyme. Here's the rhyme. My grandpa went to war. In 1964, 4-4, he came back with a gun, and shot me in the bum.
Blimey, what does that mean then?
So this translates to, my grandpa was in the war in 1964. He came back with a gun and shot me in the bum.
Ha ha, that's funny. But why do you say it's not funny?
You know, it's all fun and games for the kids. But us grown-ups understand that war is no joke. And that's how, while playing, children learn to understand serious things.
Got it. Still quite amusing, isn't it?
You know, ducks, it's interesting how children understand serious things through play and fun. Speaking of serious matters, is there anything that particularly bothers or irritates you in the modern world?
You know, ducks, there's one thing that really bothers me. It's the constant presence of Putin in the global media. I wish they would just stop using his name, quoting him, and publishing his photos. Instead, they could simply say, "The Kremlin stated," or "The Russian regime reported." And if they really needed to show his photo, they could blur his image without feeling guilty about it.
That's quite a radical idea. Do you think it will help?
You know, ducks, I don't know if it will make a difference, but I'd be really interested to see what would happen. I'm just tired of seeing his face and hearing his name everywhere. There are so many wonderful, kind, and beautiful people in the world, but all I ever see is him and read all sorts of nonsense like, "Putin dropped a boiled sausage." I'm trying to imagine a world where he exists, where the same events are happening as they are now, where everyone knows and understands everything. But there's one catch. Everyone collectively ignores the Russian dictator.
That's a really interesting thought. But don't you think it's impossible, ducks?
Of course, that's impossible. But at the very least, I can do it in my own letters. Who's going to stop me? The boss? Ha ha. That's it, ducks.
See you soon. On Friday, April 5th. You know, dreams do come true, it's true. Although, of course, it all depends on what you dream about. But even in that case, anything is possible. How did you find the last episode? I reckon you'll just click on one of the emojis. It's an anonymous survey I'm conducting for research purposes. Thanks a bunch for your feedback. I know you know that, I know, but still. Sending you a big hug and see you soon. Don't forget to send me your comments and questions, and please recommend my letters to your mates. I need readers like you. Cheers, Olya.